I would like to read a word before we pray, namely Psalms 77. Psalms 77 from verse 4. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. So far, this precious and holy word of God. In the Psalms, every situation into which a person can come is described. Every psalm, and even in every verse, can be already a new thought, a totally new situation, be expressed or be described. But somehow, the whole life of a person, with all its heights and lows, with that what we have to go through, was described. And when a person gets into trouble, when he comes into a hopeless situation, then he will most certainly not read in Genesis. He will open up the Psalms and ask for an advice from God, and somehow and somewhere he will find it. Men of God, David and others, had to walk different ways, ways which probably you and I have to walk without that we want to walk them. And God has a certain purpose with it, without that we understand it right away. In the Psalms, the great deeds of God are described. Likewise, the inner desperation of a man who was blessed by God, but then has to go through trials. Here we find for all our situations an answer. And when we read here this one verse, verse 7, I call to remembrance my song in the night. There was a time when the psalm writer did not remember the song, but he did sing. He played the harp. But now he thinks back on this wonderful time, on the singing and playing. But in the moment he doesn't sing, in the moment he doesn't play. He just remembers the blessed time when he sang, when he played. Now he ponders, now he meditates, and comes even to the desperate statement and says, has the rule of God changed? This was the question. No, the rule of God has not changed and will not change. But your and my situation, this can change. And suddenly we don't understand the ways of God anymore. Hence, Paul says in Romans, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God leads us ways, probably you and me, which we would absolutely no more walk again. He leads you ways. He leads me ways over which we shake our heads and say, how was this possible? At the end of our journey, we will find out that God had with everything a purpose and meaning. And even it was the one to deliver us from ourselves and to be totally depending on the grace, perhaps to serve others, to be able to help them, not from above, but as the psalm writer says, from the deep I call upon thee, O Lord. Now I would like to this word, even it's still the introduction, I would like to read a second word that became to us a great blessing 1 week ago, and to which the Lord answered directly. Isaiah 51 from verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. When we now compare these two scriptures with one another and bring them on one denominator, then we have in the psalm the remembrance to that what God had done in the wonderful times. And we have here in the prophet Isaiah the promise that he will bless again, that out of the desert he will make a paradise, and from the wilderness a garden of the Lord, and that there will be joy and gladness found in it, and thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And I was glad about this word, and I took it as a promise which speaks to us directly and which is made for us. and we were finished with the sermon, and we were just in prayer, and there came a wonderful singing, two stanzas, in another tongue, and then also in our language, and the interpretation, which was also given by the Spirit of God, was what eyes have never seen, what ears have never heard, God allows that to happen to us because we have heard His word. This was for me and for all of us very mighty. In the second stanza it says, therefore my soul praises you, therefore heart and mouth praises you, because we see by faith what you revealed unto us. This was mighty. We not only heard it acoustically, but the atmosphere filled by the Spirit of God we experienced, and our hearts were filled with thanksgiving. When we look on ourselves, then we could say, Lord, take whomever you like and do what you want to do, but leave me alone. And then suddenly comes, after the sermon of this word from Isaiah 51, there comes the encouragement by the Spirit. What eyes have never seen, what ears have never heard, this God allows to happen to us because we have heard His word. We didn't hear interpretations. We have not heard opinions. We have heard His word. And His word, His promises are yes and amen. And we didn't hear in vain, but it was opened unto us by the Spirit and revealed. You may say, does the individual already see something of it? By faith, we see the completion of the bride church of Jesus Christ. God promised it. He will do it. Maybe with other scriptures we come back to this subject. Let us now stand up and pray together and ask God that He may give His blessing. Let us bow our heads and also the hearts if God gives us grace to it. Heavenly Father, we come together into your holy presence and we ask you, take this service in thy hands under the leading of your Holy Spirit. May the thus saith the Lord of the word not only have come to us, may we belong to them who experience the full impact of the word, having part in it and come to perfection. Dear Lord, forgive everything what is not pleasing to you. Cover me and us with your precious blood. Savior, may the enemy have lost every right on me and on all who hear your word. May your victory, O God, be manifested in the deed and strengthen today our faith. Take all the thoughts who scatter us and which could distract us. Take them captive under the obedience of thy will, O Lord. We are not able to it, and I least of all. Therefore, I ask you for help, for grace. Take us fully captive. Reveal thyself in a way that all feel and experience your presence. Make us one in you, our Lord and Redeemer. Take everything from our midst what could be directed against you or against one another. Take it out from our hearts, from our thoughts. Make us new people, purified and washed in thy blood, thou Lamb of God, sanctified in thy truth, led by your Spirit, and to you we commit this service. Save the lost, deliver all who are burdened, and heal all who are sick. Glorify thy name in the way you would do it if you could be here visibly. Savior, I ask you, be merciful to us and manifest thyself in a mighty way. To you be the thanks and the worship. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm grateful to the Lord with all my heart that we can believing as the Scripture says, believing as it was written down in the Word of God. For this is the faith which God rewards with an answer. He doesn't reward some kind of faith, but that faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. Of this we read in Jude, in verse 3. There it is about the faith which once for all was delivered unto the saints. And for this faith we shall contend. To it we shall hold on, and then will be fulfilled. All things are possible for him who believes. If a person still has a starting point for a hope, then faith does not set in at all. Only there where humanly also the starting point for the hope is gone, when the doctor shakes his head and says, here we are at the end with our knowledge. When people have not even a straw to which he can clutch, into which he can put his hope, but that from a hope which has still a starting point, that he can be transferred over into the realm of faith, that doesn't see anything, that has no hope at all, and then is being fulfilled what we read in Romans 4 of Abraham. There, where was no more hope, this sentence is sometimes overlooked very easily. Where there was no more hope, Dear Abraham, by faith he clinged to the promise to become the father of many nations. What was it? Not a hope that could still in the heart of a person somehow promise that the thing will be all right, but the hope was taken from him so that he fully and totally is taken over into the realm of faith, and he was forced to it by the external circumstances. If God had fulfilled the promise that he gave to Abraham at the time when human hope still existed, then the fulfillment of the promise would have been there, yes. But the miracle of faith or the fulfillment of the promise would not have had such a weight. And sometimes we also think that God delays. He should act faster. And you all know what comes out of it. A self-made, own-produced Ishmael, and not more. But when we can wait until it comes to an impossible situation, where even the last hope is gone, and the straw which you wanted to clutch to, this you have pulled down, it couldn't help you. With the hope, we cannot cross into the realm of faith. If you still have a little bit of hope and think, all right, I will try this, I will try that and see how it works, then it can be said to you that you don't walk on the way of faith yet. The way of faith is a way that goes beyond any human hope. A way of faith. The word itself expresses it already. And we see it with Mary. She said, how shall this be? How can it be possible? I don't know of any man. And the angel says, the Holy Ghost will come upon thee, and the power of the Most High will overshadow thee. This was the answer. Not a well-intentioned advice, do it this way or that way, but a God-given word, a God-given promise is followed by an acting of God according to the promise at the appointed hour. And then it says, O blessed art thou who you believed. What was it? The belief that the impossible becomes possible. At a healing by faith, the people said, I suppose when the roof was opened and when this lame man was lowered down to the feet of Jesus and when he received his healing and his forgiveness, then the people said to one another, unbelievable things we have seen today. What was it? Beyond the realm of possibility. Because the realm of the possible is humanly, and the realm of the impossible is divine. And there, where we come out of our realm, of our ability, of our hope, we have to be taken out of it. and sometimes even with force, their faith sets in, and after the faith comes the acting of God, and by the acting of God, the fulfillment of His promises. So, in this last time, we have to be restored to that faith in which the church was at the beginning. And we all know the sermon of Brother Branham. He preached it here in Zurich. He also preached it in Karlsruhe. And he preached it in the United States, in some cities, the sermon from the prophet Joel, the word, "I will restore," saith the Lord. You all know this word, probably Joel chapter 2, the last part. We all have heard the message for many years. Now we shall recognize the impossibility of our own situation and also our own powerlessness to lead people to the Lord, our own powerlessness to heal people, to save people, in fact, to change any situation, that we admit our own powerlessness, to just say we are at the end, to declare our bankruptcy and say, "Lord, the hopes which we had," and now be honest, you brothers and sisters, who you follow the Lord not only 2 or 3 years, but 20, 30 and more years, be honest, have not been awakened new hopes among the people of God? Didn't you always want to keep something alive with hopes of any kind, however they might have been? But with this, you can't keep a church alive. The life comes from the Word, and faith cometh by hearing of the Word, and therein is then our anchor fixed. At the moment, again, a thing goes through the countries. The newest is that Russia will invade in August, and people create fear among one another and say it was a prophecy from the Lord. I can and don't want to judge it. God didn't set me to this. But when the things are carried into the house from another country, and it goes through the ranks of the full gospel, then we ask ourselves, what shall be reached by this? Shall there be created a panic atmosphere? What's the use of it? The will of God will and must take place. Everything what is determined in the plan of God, we cannot stop it. And we don't frighten the people before some kind of earthly enemy. The Russian is not our enemy. I have many friends in Russia. They are our friends. It's politics that makes people to become enemies. And it is Satan, the ruler of this world, who brings everything upside down. We, as God's people, don't need current injections to get us somehow going. We need a divine answer. We have to be taken out in the spirit, out of the natural realm of hope, and by faith be lifted up into the impossible realm, but the realm that was made possible by God, namely of faith in which the promises of God are being fulfilled. If you, for your salvation, have only the hope, then with the hope, probably the word perhaps is connected. And then you pray and say probably, maybe the Lord will save me. But if by the proclamation of the word, if Jesus Christ was shown to you as the crucified one, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, then this is no more a thing of your reasoning mind, but a decision worked by the Spirit in your heart. And then you cannot do otherwise but to believe and say, Lord, I receive and accept you as my personal Savior. For I believe in you, the crucified one, in him who died for me there on the hill Golgotha, who paid for my sin and guilt and atoned for it. When somebody wants to receive healing from God, then your hope is not enough. Also, your own encouragement is not enough, that you tell yourself, maybe it will get better. With the maybe, hope is connected. But with the faith, the certainty in God and in his word is anchored in your heart and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And then you can see with your own eyes. And this I want to emphasize today. Abraham didn't say, now I don't look at my body that is totally withered and I'm almost 100 years old now. He realized the deadness of his body. That's what the scripture says. But he didn't stop with it. He realized his condition. And then he looked up to God by faith. And he did not stagger through his own condition and through unbelief. But he registered it and said, all right, my body is as good as dead. But this was not the end, but only the end for a new and glorious beginning. The end with himself, the end with his own power, with his physical ability, the end of every hope which he could have had throughout many years. And faith set in there where he, earthly speaking, realized a thing which he could no more have under control. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, the proclamation of the Word of God is already here for the purpose to awaken in us a living hope, not a hope of humankind, but a divine hope according to the scripture, Christ in us, the hope of glory. But today I want to distinguish between the earthly hope and the spirit-worked faith. The hope, when it comes from God, then it leads over to the living faith. If it is a hope that man can have by himself, then faith cannot set in. But there, where we permit God, that he reveals himself. But the point is that we come to our direct end. If there's still 1% hope that you somehow can manage the thing, then this 1% is in the way of faith. Only then, when you have to cry out, but there, where we cannot help ourselves, there we cry for help, and He is our help in the time of need. This God's word says to us. And when we read the prophet Jonas, then already in the second chapter, something stands out to us. To the depth of the sea, he sank down. The feet of the mountains, there he reached. And then the wonderful word is written that he looked once more up to God and to his holy temple and prayed to him. A man who was thrown overboard and whom one sees sinking, with him it's outwardly finished. He's finished. But right this Jonas, he had a very strong faith. He knew, if God has commissioned me to bring to the city of Nineveh the word of God and to announce judgment, even if I make my own decision and I want to go my own way, God will still lead me and find me and bring me there where He wants me to be. Yes, you may probably all say, this poor Jonas. I say today, this poor brother Frank. Not poor Jonas. Jonas has his lesson already behind him. God has laid him out. I'm probably still in the midst of it. And the thought came to me while I was driving here. I had to think on some man of God. To the one his hair were cut off, although he was a Nazarene. And this was not enough. Even his eyes were put out. And then something spoke in my heart. Although your hair were cut, your eyes will never be put out. The prophetic view which God has given, the revelation of His holy word, and the view, the clear view for the spiritual things in this time, it will stay with us by the grace of God, and the church will be brought unto her perfection. I don't know whether you know the silent speaking of God in your heart. There are many children of God who don't have this inner relationship with God. And today, our dear brother Barrier sits here from Lausanne. And when I think about the meeting which I had with him there years ago, then the power of God still flows through me today. But after the meeting, it were mostly Armenians who stay there. They asked me the question, Brother Frank, what is with the seven thunders? And this was the first time in my life that I could not answer a question directly or in some kind of way. I simply said, brothers, I'm sorry, I don't know it. And then we went to bed. I slept in a small room. There was an oven in it, but the oven was cold, just like the room. And on the next morning, God is my witness, I am woken up by a voice that sounded right above me. Arise and read 2 Timothy 4. And I hesitated a bit, because the room was cold. And then the second time, stronger, and with one jump, I was out of the bed. and I had my Bible, and I read 2 Timothy 4. And while I was reading, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. You all know the text. And I read a bit on, and suddenly it said, come back to the beginning. And when I came to this place, preach the word, I laid away my Bible, and I lifted up my hands, and I said, Lord, I thank you for the answer about the seven thunders. Now you may say, Brother Frank, whoever reads 2 Timothy 4, he cannot get an answer about the thunders. Slowly. It is not that fast. Suddenly, something like the spirit of prophecy came upon me, and I spoke it out with my lips. Only that, what is written as the word of God in the Bible, will be preached. Everything what was not written down as the word of God will not be preached. And when I think on this wonderful singing in tongues and interpretation of it, then we are told here again, what eyes have never seen, what ears have never heard, this God lets happen on us, because we have heard his word. Not lets God preach us. Preaching, for this is the word. Preach the word, be in season or out of season. God will on those who received the message as coming from God, who you not only agreed with your mind, but who you received with all your heart. Among these people, God will manifest all of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And then the sons and daughters of God will be manifest. Then will also be manifested what is now still being discussed about. But a discussion is not a divine answer. God's promises are followed by his acting. This we read. And in Proverbs, we are told that everything has its time. Really everything. And we can absolutely not anticipate the Lord. Some like to do it. I mean, Ecclesiastes 9, here it says, from verse 1, Ecclesiastes 9, from verse 1, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. Whether a person will be loved or hated, no one knows what lies ahead. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner. A pure outward observation. And one says sometimes, the believer gets sick and the unbeliever. The believer has an accident and the unbeliever has an accident. The same things which happen in life, they happen to the one as to the other. And here the question is asked, why the ruling of God is this way? You know, we don't have to ask any question, but we want to have the answer from God. And the answer is right in the same chapter, in verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Please take this word to heart. Here a race is shown to us. Also Paul speaks of it in Corinthians and says, he who runs in the race, he shall run with all his strength. He shall cast away all ballast, everything what could hinder him. But you know very well, in the earthly, it is like this, and maybe also in the spiritual. The one can run fast, and the other not so fast. Where would be here the righteousness of God if he let the fast one reach the goal, and the slow one would have to just watch what has come out of it? And then comes the divine answer, but time and chance happeneth to them all. And the time of God for me and for you has come. And the divine circumstance is that he spoke to us in this time. And then there's no more the one who wants to be quickly at the destination, and the other who is far behind. And the strange thing is, I have never met a believer since 30 years. That's how long it is that I'm a believer. I never met a believer who would have seen another one before him. Everyone has seen all the others a whole distance behind him on the way of the Lord. This must become different. It was said here, it doesn't depend on running. And didn't also Paul say it? It doesn't depend on our running or willing, but it depends on God's mercy, so that the scripture is right. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So, a running, yes, a struggling, a competing, that we reach the finishing line, but never with a thought, these brethren will probably not make it. I am ahead of them. Who knows how far? I dare to say, if I or you have such an attitude in our heart, then we are not running the race at all. Did you understand this? We have to come to the point that all own glory and everything what could serve for our honor is swept away, and that it might be fulfilled what is written, he who wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord, and that he is merciful to him. See what it says here. Not to the man of understanding, and not to the one who is fast, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Who leads the circumstances? Who has set the time? Have you done it? Have I done it? We all depend on time and circumstances. This we probably don't understand in the moment, but this is God's word. Not the one could say, I was strong, I won the battle. From whom comes the victory? The victory doesn't come from you and not from me. It is given to all of us by God. The same with the redemption and everything what goes with it. Then it says, from verse 12, for man also knoweth not his time. as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. So, without willing, without planning, a man suddenly, by circumstances, can be ensnared that he has become a captive of his own circumstances. And when he understands that he has become a captive of his own circumstances, and that he cannot deliver himself, nor help himself, then nothing is left for him but to call to the God who is in heaven, but who revealed himself on earth, that he may help him by his grace. We sometimes read over such scriptures and ask, why and why? To me recently, a man until then unknown to me, he said, I don't know whether he said brother or Mr. Frank, he said, never ask for the why. Just say in your heart, for what shall it serve me, O Lord? Not this endless scientific research that goes beyond all measure without having an answer, but what for, Lord, shall it serve me? And then you can find a number of things in no time at all, and says, yes, Lord, you had to put your hand on this and on that. Here the thing, there I had my own will, here I had my own way, this was not right before you, and that not. And suddenly one calls in this way to the Lord. And then it happens to us like it happened to Jonas. I cried to the Lord, and he heard me and saved me from all my fears. Do you know that also children of God can come into situations where they are afraid, where they are covered by the waves, by circumstances of which we read here? They all depend on time and of circumstances. And then we see the glorious and wonderful intervening of our God. Then it's no more the man who helped himself. Then it's the Lord. And then comes to fulfillment what is written, maybe 2 Corinthians 5 or 4, on the day of salvation, he helped me or us. This is the day of salvation. And I dare to say today, when you have become a prisoner of the circumstances, a prisoner, and you cannot help yourself, let us receive today his help, trusting our God. What would he like better than that? As long as we can help ourselves, we don't even need him. But in the moment where we cannot help ourselves, we must, whether we like it or not, we have to call upon him, and then he hears our cry and he helps. What is your condition? What is my condition? How does it look like in your or in my life? How does it look like in the life of the church? Are we not all depending at the certain time on the leading of our God? I have said it already many times. If I could produce the completion of the church in some kind of way, oh, then I would love to do it. But this I cannot do, and no one else can do it. There's only one who wants to let us know that every pious business and every religious try is man-made. And how nicely Brother Branham says it when he speaks of the day of Pentecost. He says, not a priest came there and came on the platform and preached a sermon about the outpouring of the Spirit, but there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and the fire of God fell, and the believers were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A Peter could never say, you see, because I was here, all this took place. Not because a Peter or a Paul, but because the Lord, at that appointed time, fulfilled His word and His promises. Therefore, all these things took place, and they will depend until the end from the doings of our God. Every brother who thinks that he can take the matter into his hands, please don't be angry with me, but God will not put his matter into the hands of a man. His cause shall be entrusted to him, and we are the work of his hands. We depend on him. When he is permitted that he can make vessels out of us. And then it is not the vessel, but he who made it and who uses it for his glory. So, not you and not I, not we, but the Lord who began his church, he will finish it unto the day of his return. And this return of the Lord is forerun by the prophetic revelation of the Word of God. All the scriptures who refer to our time. And I'm honest, there are many specialists. Some have here, the others there, their hobby horse. But there was a prophetic message, a man sent from God with a direct divine commission, as it was also assigned to John at the first coming of Christ. And we are not ashamed to say that the Lord has used our beloved brother Branham, who is already with the Lord for a number of years now. He used him in an extraordinary way. And I ask you, before I forget it, read the sermons that are published, which were preached after the opening of the seals. Read them once again. Deepen yourself in it, for that is where the faith will come from, that will lead us into the last stage, into which we have to come to participate in the rapture. Somehow the direction had to be given, and it could not be given by a man. It had to be given by God. And you all know, God, from the very beginning, He used men whom He could send, whom He could commission, through whom He could speak very personal. And many times I said it, many spoke about God, but it were only very few through whom God could speak. The majority of the preachers speak about God. They speak about Jesus Christ. They speak about the Word, but there are only a few through whom God can speak, through whom He can give His Word. And we believe that Brother Branham was a true prophet sent by God. This may sound a bit strange for uninitiated ears. It may even have the smell of a sect. This doesn't bother me, and I hope it doesn't bother all the chosen ones either. God has called, and with this the matter is closed for us. He has called, He has sent, He has spoken, and then we are not dealing with a man anymore, but with our God, who has let go forth His word to us in this time. And right at the end, you will see that we were no fools, that we were no blockheads, but that we belonged to those of whom Daniel says that some will read at the end time and come to the knowledge of the truth, and that they shall be purified and tried and prepared. We are willing, as a small flock, under the worst contempt, to follow the Lord until we come from believing unto seeing. And at the end of this way, when the pearly gates will open, then we will thank God that we let ourselves be pulled out of the multitude and let ourselves be placed into the body of the Lord. Even though this body is not yet fully in operation, the members are here. We were called by the Lord and chosen to see the end of all things. If what the Lord gave us last weekend goes through your heart as much as it does me, then we can all be strengthened in our faith. What eyes have never seen, what ears have never heard, God lets happen on us, because we have heard His word. Hallelujah. In my heart is an amen to this thing. I cannot do otherwise. Here it doesn't speak only of that, what our eye will see one day on the other side. For this we have already the promise in the word of God. For this we don't need a prophecy or no prophetic revelation or an interpretation of a singing in tongues. This is already written in the Bible, and what is written in the Bible doesn't have to be said again. It can be read, it can be preached, and we take it to heart. This here is a revelation of our Lord. It shall happen on us, because we have heard His word. Did you hear it? Did you believe it? Is it effective, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, probably? The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. The time will come in which the word which we have heard and that was planted into our hearts, it will unfold and will be like those who dream, but we will wake up and see that God does wonderful things amongst His own. And who are His own? My sheep hear my voice. What is His voice? His word. His revealed word for this time. And with this I come to a close. If you wanted to understand the word with your mind, then one could say, in all the churches, in all denominations, in all Christian fellowships, the Bible is opened. Verses are being read. That's not what it means. That just somebody opens up the Bible and thinks he has done his duty. It is about much more. This word that was written down and was revealed by the Holy Spirit shall become alive in you. It shall not only be written here, but upon the tablets of your and my heart, and it shall become a reality out of the hope into the faith. But this is the jump where we earthly seen and humanly speaking have come to the point, and where we must say, Lord, up to here I somehow made it. Now I can't anymore. Take over the whole thing, and you will see he will like to do it, that he will take his course into his hands, and that he manifests himself in your and in my life. It doesn't depend on your and my willing, but some things may depend on time and circumstances. And today we want to take it by faith that the captivity, the spiritual captivity that binds us and that paralyzes us, with God's help, we let it be loosened by him. For he makes totally free. He leads out. He lets us see and walk the way that he determined for us, for you and for me. There, where is a wilderness, there shall be a paradise. There, where is a desert, there shall be the garden of God. And you all know, let me say this here, when God created all things, it's later on written in chapter 2, and he planted a garden in Eden. This garden was not right away here in the original creation. He planted it. He has, so to say, everything that was distributed in all the creation. This he concentrated and summarized there on one point, on one little area. He planted it, and he has put man into it. A paradise God prepared for you and for me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Everything is prepared for me and for you. Receive it as a gift of grace from your God. And believe today in Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, with all your heart and with all your soul, that he suffered for you, that he atoned for you, that he went to the cross for you, and that he has taken your place to redeem you and me. And then we can sing the German hymn, I'm redeemed and I may glorify it, redeemed by the blood of the Savior. May the blessing of the Almighty God rest upon all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, together we come as we are into your holy presence, under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb. And we believe that you have forgiven us in Christ and reconciled us with yourself. We pray for all who have raised their hands. Lord, I ask you, may your word penetrate every heart, and may your spirit make it alive. Draw all to you, O Lord. Forgive all guilt and all sin. Receive and accept, O Lord. Make out of men children of God. From timely creatures, make eternal creatures of God, sons and daughters of the Almighty. Savior, I thank you that you have given us eternal life. I pray, crown all with mercy and with loving kindness. May they feel it now, that you are nigh to them, that it's not just words, but that you speak with them by your Spirit, and that you have drawn them to yourself. We commit them into thy hands. Accept them, O Lord, just as they are, and transform us all in our hearts. And then, when the time and hour comes, also on our body, we thank you and praise you. We glorify the power of your blood that was shed on Calvary. We thank you for the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which is the power of God. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who convicts people of sin and draws them to you. Savior, bless from the riches of your grace.